Matt Greenwood back with you on KJF Sports Talk, powered by your local McDonald's. Tasty breakfast fast for your Egg McMuffin is always made with a freshly cracked egg. And joining us for KJF Sports Talk is Director of Golf at Belrive Country Club, Mike Tucker. So we also have Mike Murphy in studio as well. Let's go ahead and pull Mike Tucker on the phone here. And we will get this show started. Mike Tucker, Mike, welcome onto the show.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, and happy PGA week.
Mike, I actually woke up this morning excited about this because exactly we got the 101st PGA going out in Bethpage out in New York, and you and I got a lot of catching up to do. The last time I talked to you, I said we'll sit down and have a beer, but I know how busy you are and how busy I am, and this is really going to give us a chance to talk about what happened here in St. Louis and how we passed the baton on from PGA Reach to Bethpage. Mike, what I'd like to start out with is that it's just hard to believe, but it's been 11 or 12 years ago. I know that we had a tournament with Ozzy, and we got started, and we had a very great evening at your club where it was a stag evening in April, and the next thing I know is that we're trying to form a PGA Foundation, which has turned into PGA Reach, but over the course of the last 11 or 12 years, it all came to Belrive Country Club last August, and I would like to really ask you some questions that very few people, and Matt and I will talk about, that really understand what went on behind the scenes. And having said that, your brother went through the same thing, so I know the information we're going to get, and we're going to get to the listeners, will just be really great. But let's start out with your summary of how long this took and how we got there, and then, of course, the event was played across this country in different parts of the world, was just fantastic for St. Louis.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, gosh, Mike, it started, I guess the process, and just a quick recap. Mm-hmm. You know, we hosted the 92 PGA Championship back when Jerry, brother Jerry, my mentor, and a good friend of yours.
Absolutely.
You know, hosting the 92 PGA put St. Louis back on, you know, we had hosted the 65 U.S. Open, the 1965 U.S. Open.
Gary Player won
there. And that was, the historic Gary Player victory. But it had been a while. PGA of America came back to St. Louis in 1992, and we set records at the time. We had between attendance and merchandise sales and just the general elevation of the event. The PGA really kind of took off from there, and I mean, not to take credit, but the energy came back to the PGA. Instead of being the fourth, always just the fourth major, It had a new relevance. Nick Price, a top major champion, someone who'd won a couple majors before, so he wasn't a fluke, wins at Belrive. Well, then you saw the LPGA come to town, the senior PGA come to town, and some other. We had the senior open in 2004, the 2008 BMW Championship. So it was a springboard. And we had, as time went by, we had our eyes set on hosting another major championship. What would that be? We had some discussions with the USGA. It just turned out that, the U.S. Open for us probably wasn't as good a fit as what the PGA Championship could be. So we went kind of back to the PGA and started talking way back in 2004, 2005, and continued these discussions with a couple of our key members at Belrive. And again, I've said it before, Mike, our membership embraces championship golf. And we are very fortunate, and I'm very fortunate. I think we as a community are fortunate that, not every club wants to go through the challenges and the exercise that it takes to host a major championship. And we have people who embrace it and who relish the fact that, hey, what a great opportunity, not for just Belrive, but for the St. Louis community, the region. So we worked out a situation where we could host not only the PGA Championship, but we started with the 2013 Senior PGA Championship. Mm-hmm. So we were able to kind of have a great preview of championship golf, and then we even that went really well. And for if you can remember back six sure. years ago, and now, or I should say then, we were able to host the 18th, so that the or 2018, which was the 100th PGA Championship. So it was a long time coming, and here we are in May, and just it kind of snuck up on me, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm so ingrained on that August date. You know, you kind of just have your golf mental clock, you know, ticking, going, wow, this is we're already watching, you know, major championship golf with PGA this week. So it's a little bit of a getting used to, but I'm glad we had it when we did, because you know the way our weather's been around here lately. Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine hosting the PGA Championship this week, even though the weather's good today. But you know, it was 52 degrees on Saturday, I think. So I think we did it. We did okay by the time you know, the time frame we had.
You know, Mike, there's so many things I want to talk to you about. We've been inside the ropes all my life, okay, and it's like I don't know if I could really enjoy the event coming into St. Louis. And I sit there on Monday, and I took three of the people here from our radio station. We're the first ones on a bus. We're the first ones over there. And we spent almost the entire day, and of course, the Ozzie bought the Wanamaker Trophy in at 12, 1 o'clock, whatever it was. Watching him come in as a baseball player and the head of our PGA Reach Foundation and all we went through, it struck me, okay? And that whole week from that day on till Sunday, I have story after story after story, as you have too. But I became a golf fan, Mike. I'll be honest with you. I have not been a golf fan to say I love the game, enjoy the game, played the game, made a living in the game, as you have. But that entire week was like a drumbeat. Every day got better. I had people in from out of town. Steve Braun came in, and he's a good friend of the new PGA CEO, Seth, I forget his last name right now.
Seth Waugh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's from New Jersey, New York, and he had a guy that played baseball out there. But my point is that I've caddied in the Buick Open. I've played in golf tournaments. I've enjoyed the game of golf. But at that Sunday, when that Sunday was over with, and I look back on everything over the last 12 years, I at Belle Reve, your members so embraced this. 3 weeks ago when I was over there, I stopped back in and Shogi in the back room. What a tremendous sacrifice. I told them, people, I said, it was something that was an ending to me and a beginning, because I really enjoyed myself. I go back to the days where I was on the streets of Detroit in 67 in the riots, and I came to St. Louis, and I talked to Ed Glotzbach, who's your president of your club, and on that Friday, and I said, Ed, I said, what a wonderful thing. He said, Mike, you had a vision through the foundation, and Ozzie carried it out, and we as members embraced this. And it wasn't just the event. It was also what happened after the event, that PGA Reach has gone forward with the veterans. It's gone forward with the PGA Junior League. It just changed everything, Mike. It really was a turnaround.
Well, and that's the, you know, I hope people, you know, and obviously I think you've helped tell the story, and it's much appreciated, that one of the differentiators between St. Louis, why St. Louis and why Belle Reve? Let's face it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Belle Reve. I'm a homer, right? I mean, I think it's a
why
great,
wouldn't you
great
be?
Test of golf. It's a great venue. St. Louis is a great city, great market. I mean, you know, we can all, the superlatives can be said about Belle Reve, and St. Louis can also be said about 10, 12 other markets and facilities. So what's going to be, why St. Louis over Atlanta, Chicago, mm-hmm. Denver,
New York, Boston.
I didn't think, you know,
put them all in there, Mike.
Yeah, we're taking even to the small markets. So the key was, and the thought with our leadership at the club, with Ed Glotzbach and
Mike DiCola,
myself, you know, we just had so many, you know, we had so many people involved, and say it goes back to getting Ozzie involved and say, you know what, Jeffrey Creefel, my old general manager.
Absolutely. He's Washington, D.C.
Big credit to him, because he and I had maybe some of the first talks about how we can – what's it going to take to get us? Who – it's helped me out. Someone's going to make some money, and someone's going to sell some tickets, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to know that the PGA was interested in in a benevolent cause, a philanthropic cause, that the PGA Championship coming to your community could actually have a leave behind that meant more than selling tickets, it meant more than who won the championship and who takes home the trophy. It was actually the PGA Championship can do good works for a community, and it's going to take a lot of effort and energy to make it happen. But with our leadership, like I said, with the Ned Glotzbach, with Jeffrey, Josh Riley, such a key
and yourself
component with that, with the PGA, with the Gateway PGA, and then it continued Sally Wells. You know, that team with Ozzie at the helm, who is as beloved a figure as you're going to have in this community, right?
Yes, sir.
It was the PGA, and at the time, Joe Steranko, who was the CEO of the PGA.
Right.
You know, this is something I'm interested in. So now it was a game changer, and it is now adopted as an, on a national level. The piece, St. Louis, in our community, and the Gateway PGA, and with the work that you and that first board did, along with some leadership from Belrive and mm-hmm. what's going on downtown with the Teen Tech Center and everything, it's now a national program that all started with a few people getting together to try to think beyond themselves and say, hey, let's do something. How can we make this a win-win for everybody, and not just the hotels and restaurants in town, which I'm happy for them as well.
So am I.
But how can we make this? How can we make this an event that will live on in the leave behind? Like I said, with what we're doing downtown, watching some of the teens and some of the kids running around the city of St. Louis with Gateway PGA and PGA Championship T-shirts, getting something out of it well beyond the championship itself. So such a key, and that helped not only start something. Why the PGA may have chosen Belrive and St. Louis as a market, but this is good enough that everybody going forward to host the PGA Championship, you're going to have an event and you're going to be involved, and this is something you're going to continue for.
It's absolutely, Mike, I can't say enough. I mean, at first, it's like everything else. I mean, we've lived here a long time. But when I look back at what took place between the members of Belrive, between Ozzie Smith, between you, between Josh Riley, the section of all our players, the involvement of what took place, I was overwhelmed. I'll be honest with you. It's just, I'm sitting here right now, this morning, watching everything at Bethpage, and it just seemed like yesterday the event was here in St. Louis. We're getting off at the church. We're going across the crossboards, and it's like Disney World to me. It was like Disney World for 7 days. You know, and it just changed everything as far as I see going forward nationally. And to have been part of it, and you and Jeffrey, and the work that was done by your members, and work that was done by Ozzie, I sat back, and it was a fulfillment of being able to say, you know, I was a 13-year-old boy that caddied at the Buick Open. I spent my entire life at the game. And to see what you've accomplished with your membership and what took place that week, and the record sales, and the fans were unbelievable. You had Tiger Woods sit on the Golf Channel and said, I hope we come back here sooner than later.
We actually were able to put a little highlight, reel together for our membership, and the Gateway section, I think, too. We showed something at our meetings. We have Michael, our section meetings, and the players, the fans, the spectators, obviously we set records. We had 52,000 plus. We could.
How many, Mike? America, how many people?
And rightfully, well, I was just, it was just kind of funny. We, back in the week of, talking numbers is just not something that, the associations like to do. And, right. Augusta never talks about numbers attendance and revenues. And the revenues don't matter. But what did matter was we, St. Louis, and this is what's very important, St. Louis set attendance records. Mm-hmm. So here we are, call us what you want, a mid-market, 20th, 21, 22, 22nd market in the country, depending on how you do the demographics. We set numbers in attendance. So on that week, even though we were challenged with weather Tuesday and Friday, for those who remember, and mm-hmm. Walking to their cars, sprinting to their cars on that Friday afternoon storm, and we had to call play
at 6 o'clock. That's right. I was one of them.
That's right. Yeah, that weekend.
I was one of them. Yep.
We did. We had over 52,000 each day on Saturday and Sunday. And that it's twofold. One, those numbers sound tremendous. But the key is you sell X number of tickets. The PGA of America, U.S. Open, or the USGA, the PGA Tour, they allot so many tickets. And then there's a formula. So you sell 100 tickets. Basically speaking, 80 to 85% of those tickets will be utilized, usage, right? So that's what typically is average on a weekend. You know, not everybody can use the tickets they purchase because they're bought so far in advance. We were turning in rates at 90 to 92% of usage, of utilization. So not only did we sell the tickets, but those who had tickets showed up. Yeah. And that's something that is not seen in every market. And I've already got reports. I've already talked to a couple of my media friends and my PGA friends up at Bethpage this week.
Right.
And they are not seeing near the excitement or the crowds. And I'm not taking it.
No, I'm not either, Mike. I've been around long enough to understand exactly what took place here. And, you know, I had my Ozzie Smith flip hat down in Florida. I bet you at the club I was at and the areas I went, there were 25, 30 people nationally. Them watching it said it was one of the greatest PGA events, just watching it on TV.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, Tiger brought a different.
Absolutely.
He brings eyes that you just don't, you know. I mean, there are certain people that will watch a golf championship when Tiger's in the mix, and that's good. That's fine. Now, we don't want that to be the only reason people watch golf, but let's face it, if he's drawing them back into the game, let's take advantage of it and let's develop our young talent and let's, you know, the stars will, you know, the Dustin Johnsons, the Rory McIlroys, the Ricky Fowlers, you know, the Jordan Spieth, those fellows will keep coming and moving forward. Having said that, it is an unbelievable phenomenon. When Tiger starts to make a run or get in the mix, as we saw at Bellerive, and I will say this.
Give me the Tiger factor sitting there as the golf professional at Bellerive, what that did to you and what that did to the people watching.
Well, people say, well, if Tiger shows up, you're going to sell more tickets. I'm like, folks, we've already sold all the tickets we can sell.
Right.
We can't sell any more tickets, okay? We've sold out everything we can possibly sell. Now, will they show up? Will we get that 90-92% utilization rate, that usage rate on those tickets? Will we have more, you know, will we have 48,000 instead of 52,000? That's arguable that the Tiger factor kicked in. But the energy that when Tiger was on that set, that Sunday's round was actually called by one of the years in reviews. You know, I don't know if it was Golf Channel or Golf World called it the round of the year, because Tiger was in the hunt and Tiger was the hunter, and Koepka obviously was the eventual champion who was being chased. But Tiger 64, his lowest round in championship golf on a Sunday in championship golf. So Tiger gave it his best shot. And when Tiger, you know, punched the air on 18 after he made that putt, I think Tiger believed he could win again, even though he didn't.
Yep.
Even though he didn't, I think he believes that I'm good enough to win. And everybody there, as far, if you didn't know that Koepka was, you know, a hole and a half behind, they all thought he won, right? I mean, it went nuts. And when he walked over that skywalk and gave the thumbs up, which he doesn't do, he rarely does anything like that to those, the throng of people, the literally thousands of people below, that was a moment that will live in the history of the club, and I even think in championship golf, Mike, I think you'll see
no question
that clip in Tigers. If when they do the Tiger bio and they do the highlights, I guarantee you that'll be in the top five.
I guarantee you, Mike. The reason he won
capturing of what that week was and what he brought to it, and real quick, I will say this: Augusta is. It's actually, had Tiger won at Bellerive, what happened at Augusta would have been exciting, but not nearly. I mean, the edge would have been taken off. You know, he would already had won his major. He would have already had the comeback story. The Masters is still the Masters, and I'll never try to say that it has its own unique place. But with his near miss at Bellerive made Augusta even that much more the tension and the energy that much more palpable. So I think the springboard from the PGA to what he did at Augusta made it even greater at Augusta. So it's a win-win. So
my exact words, Michael, was it was a springboard, and there was no question that Sunday there was as dramatic and as exciting as anything I've ever seen. And then, of course, he wins, you know, the tour championship. But the springboard was there, and to be there was just unbelievable. Let me tell you a story. Again, that Sunday I became a fan. Little did I know that I was going to even walk every day and be there every day. But you know where the PGA was, where we had the Gateway PGA? I had my little granddaughter. You'll enjoy that. I hadn't had a chance to tell this story. I had my little granddaughter with me. And we took her across. She says, "Grandpa, I want to sit by the ropes." So we went across on the 16th green and the 17th tee. And we're sitting there. Guess who came by us? You won't believe this story. And it needs to be told. Fluff comes by us, and Jim Furyk comes by us. And here's my little granddaughter, 8 years old. Fluff hands her a golf ball.
Really? That's cool.
And I'm just a fan sitting there. But there were so many of these stories going on during the week that I have captured, that you could sit there and you could hear 500 different stories of something that happened to somebody that was just exciting. It was just an exciting week.
Well, and that's one of those things, you know, we said we heard those stories, and we were trying to make, we heard the stories of 92 saying, "Hey, my dad took me to the championship, or was with my grandparents, or, you know, my brothers and sisters, and my mom and dad took me," or, you know, "it was the first time I got to, you know, see a professional championship golf," or "was this my first time to go to a big event," or just the stories about being with friends and family, because it's not a baseball game where it's 2.5 or 3.5 hours nowadays. You may be there for a day. I mean, it's like going on a hike and a picnic and the Super Bowl all at one time, right? Yep. I mean, you're walking around. You're seeing great sporting event, but you're also spending time with your, you know, the people that are close to you, and it can't get much better than that. I mean, that's just a great experience, and I was fortunate enough to have some of my family, my wife and her family, and I was able to, you know, help out my friends with a few tickets, you know, so I was at least a popular friend for at least a little while there, right? But that's
short lived though. But it's neat when it happens.
You know, it's just you know, we're fortunate, Mike, in the industry that sometimes people think it's a little bit more. You know, we play golf all the time.
That's not true.
We just you're a golf pro, right? And you live the high life.
And right.
They don't always see behind the curtain, and that's fine.
Exactly.
I've always enjoyed what I've done, and every once in a while, it's a pretty cool thing. But I'm pretty happy and very, very, very fortunate, and just as the luckiest can be to happen to be the PGA golf professional at Belle Reve and in that situation and be a part of it, because, you know, there's 28,000 of us in the association, and very few of us get to have that kind of experience. So I'm just really, really lucky guy.
Mike, I know you got to go with your ladies here shortly, but I want to say a couple things before I let you go here. Number one, you and Jerry, as far as I'm concerned, are two of the finest golf professionals we have in our section. Your membership at Belle Reve over the years that I've got to know, they did one of the most tremendous jobs I have ever seen to reach all the fans. And the history that Belle Reve has left, working with Mr. Glotzbach and Mike DiCola and yourself and Jeffrey and Ozzy, it's memories that'll go to my grave. And I'm telling you, I've never been so proud of being a PGA professional when Sunday ended. And I had the opportunity to look back and see all the things that you and your brothers walked through and the success that you have bought and the impression that you guys have left from St. Louis nationally. It's just tremendous. And I'm just so glad to have the opportunity to have you on and to tell you thanks. Thanks, Belle Reve. Thanks, Mike Tucker. Thank membership, and all you got to do is turn your TV on this week at Bethpage, which I already have, and let me tell you something. This will live on as one of the greatest events that's ever come to St. Louis and one of the best events, a 100-year anniversary in the PGA that we ever had. Nothing but thanks, Mike.
I'm moved by your comments, Michael, and I really appreciate it. You're too kind, and obviously, you know, being a PGA member is a privilege and it's an honor. And I was fortunate enough to have a great mentor in my brother, Jerry.
Absolutely.
So, very fortunate. And then along the way, to be able to, you know, to meet you and yeah. gentlemen like yourself who carried the PGA banner and the flag and have shown me the right way to do things. And again, it was a city area. Mm-hmm. It was a region victory for everybody. And hopefully other, not only golf, but other businesses and other sporting events that may have a chance to come to St. Louis will look at that PGA championship last year and say, wow, if that's the kind of experience that they provided then, that's what I want to be a part of. And hopefully this will make, again, using that word, springboard, other good things and good works to come to St. Louis. And I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat.
Mike, I thank you, and go have fun with the ladies. And again, I can't say enough because I watched it from the beginning. I watched it that Sunday to the end. My little granddaughter getting that golf ball from Fluff is a memory that'll live with me, and I've got plenty of them. But that touched my heart, as did that event. Okay? And just thank you. Thank Belrive. Thank St. Louis. We come across as one of the neatest championships we've ever had, and I can't say enough about it.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you on the golf course soon, Mike.
I hope so. All right, Michael.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, again, Mike Tucker, Director of Golf at Belrive Country Club in St. Louis, site of the 100th anniversary of the PGA Championship last August. And, of course, as Mike and Mike essentially
yeah, Mike
have
and Mike
been
in the morning.
About,
yeah.
right, the PGA Championship underway at Bethpage in New York, and Brooks Koepka at the top of leaderboard there with a 7-under first round, which we will dive into a little bit about that start after we take a break here on KJ Sports Talk. It's 444. Matt Greenwood back with you on KJF Sports Talk, powered by your local McDonald's. Golf and more with Mike Murphy. Our great appreciation again to Mike Tucker, Director of Golf at Belrive Country Club, for coming on to the show this afternoon and talking to us about the 100th anniversary of the PGA Championship experience at Belrive last year, here with Mike Murphy talking about memories and just sort of being able to get that event happening in St. Louis and the greater St. Louis area and having that involvement there. And Mike wanted to add on to a little bit of that before we dive into this year's PGA Championship, which is at Bethpage in New York.
Real quick, the beauty of what took place last year, I mean, we have all the stories. We had all the record numbers. We have all that stuff. We had Bruce Koepka win an event. We had Tiger here. But the beauty of it is that we have passed on through this event with the Belrive membership, Mr. Glatzbach and Mike himself, the manager that was there that's out in Washington, D.C. now, in Washington, D.C. But the beauty of it is that every year now that we have an event, the PGA Reach is being carried on. And the PGA Reach reaches young kids with a junior PGA program. It reaches our veterans with PGA Hope. And that is something that came out of it that we're all so proud of. Now, we can move on and talk about all the things that each week we can talk about Koepka being 7-under right now. We can talk about Lee being 6-under right now. We can talk about Tiger being 3-over. But it overwhelmed me over the last 11 years to see this build up. And now we can talk about the 101st PGA Championship. It's out in Farmingdale, New York, just 35 miles from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to move on a lot of tradition from that.
Yeah, certainly will. And as I can't remember if you said it or Mike Tucker said it, I think it was you talking about how a lot of people are saying, hey, let's get the PGA Championship back to St. Louis sooner rather than later.
That was Tiger Woods that said that.
Yeah, well, and you reiterated
and I didn't want to put Mike on the spot. But I would love to ask him. You got to understand what that membership went through there to host this thing and how long it took. And then you usually get PGAs 10 years out. They list them 10 years out. And there is a date that's open there, like 225 or 226. And I'm not going to put Mike on the spot on the radio to say, Mike,
right,
is there a chance that this is coming back then and there? And it would be great to see it. Tiger was on TV, and he was. It was a springboard for him. He was so inspired that he said, I would love to see this event come back here. to St. Louis, how great the fans were, and it would be nice to see it come back. But they've already got their locations for the next 10 years with the exception of 225 or 226. And I'm kind of wondering, but I'm not going to put Mike on the spot there.
Right. I understand. But, yeah, last year's champion, Brooks Koepka, is currently atop the leaderboard at 7-under. But, hey, right behind him, Australian Danny Lee with a 6-under. 64 is what he shot today. It's a par 70 course. And then to round out sort of the top five, if you will, Tommy Fleetwood is 3-under. Mike Lorenzo Vera is 2-under, tied with Chez Reavy, who's also 2-under. And then you got Luke List, Pat Perez, rounding out the tied for fourth, guys. Lurking. I mean, still in it, but lurking. Ricky Fowler is 1-under, tied for eighth. You got good old lefty Phil Mickelson, who's 1-under as well. Matt Kuchar is in the thick of things. Dustin Johnson, who formerly number one in golf, is 1-under as well. So, you know, quite a few well-known names sort of at the top of the list there. Rory McIlroy, though, and Tiger Woods right now tied for 55th with 2 overs. McIlroy's still going. He's on hole number 14, but Tiger Woods is done for the day. Tiger Woods, of course, last year's runner-up.
And it's so interesting, and Mike alluded to it. We're a small marketplace. We ended up with the 100-year anniversary, and you got people like New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., Chicago that probably wanted this thing. But it's going to really be fun going forward because the growth of the game, not just the players in the game, but the growth of the game has been established, and it's just fun to sit back and watch. Ozzy was like the ambassador. He handled the trophy off to the Mets that he presented. The guy named Wright, I forget his first name, but he played Major League Baseball for a long time, the third baseman. And
for
the Mets.
The Mets.
Yeah. Each time now that the trophy gets forwarded, it next year goes out to California. Ozzy handed the trophy off to Wright. I forget his first name. Major League player. David Wright, yeah. David Wright was a third baseman. So each year now that you see the Wanamaker Trophy, you'll see a sports celebrity in each town remind everybody that this is PGA Reach, and we're reaching out in our community with a sports celebrity. So it's been passed on, and that's just a little sidebar that I think people would enjoy. Ozzy passed it on to David Wright, and the next year it goes out to San Francisco, to Harding Park. And I know who I'd like to select.
Okay.
The basketball player that plays for the Golden Warriors.
Oh, Steph Curry?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a wonderful golfer. But see, that type of thing, it'll be made by the section in the PGA. But he's a wonderful golfer, loves the game of golf, and you can see the enthusiasm when we get communities involved, and that's what's going on.
Yeah. After the PGA Championship, I mean, I know we don't want to get off that too quickly, but what's the next major?
Oh, U.S. Open.
Okay.
Yeah. And what happened, what Mike was referring to, see, this has always been in August. And it was at the tail end.
Right.
We jumped into the second spot, and the marketing of this thing is now tremendous.
Yeah.
And this being early in the year, particularly after Tiger, this was after Tiger won the Masters, and Tiger was second at the PGA. I mean, the viewing audience of this would be tremendous. The marketing of this is really good, having it the second major as opposed to the last major of the year.
Right. June 13th through the 16th is the
at
U.S.
Pebble
Open.
Beach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about a month away.
It always ends on Father's Day. U.S. Yeah. Open always ends on Father's Day. And then you got the British that's in July.
Okay.
Do we have a little bit of time to talk about what happened last night?
About the Blues? Yeah. We got about 2.5 minutes. So
well, good.
I don't have a strong opinion on the matter because I'm not a Blues fan.
I'm the same way.
But I am in favor of getting the call right.
Yep.
And when the call is not right, I have a strong opinion about that and that hand pass. I mean, I didn't get to see it live because I was working on the West County Herculaneum Baseball mm-hmm. District Championship recap. But mm-hmm. But I did see the review or the highlight, and I saw it about 3 or 4 times. And I just don't know how the officials missed it. And then to make matters worse, NHL's statement today regarding the issue and just saying, you know, our guys made a, you know, it's. Our guys made a mistake or whatever. Anyway.
The referees have got to call it on the ice, and they did not call it on the ice. It's not reviewable is my understanding, okay?
Right.
And we had all this technology, and it's beyond me that we have all this technology. We want to get things right. Why that couldn't have been overturned? And they need to give technology and the officials that are refereeing or umpiring games that ability to turn something like that over. Because I'm not a Blues fan. I'm a Red Wings fan, but I'm rooting
right.
for the Blues
you,
because
you and
I live
are both
here.
Red Wings.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I want to see them win their first Stanley Cup. So I'm sitting
yeah,
there.
That'd
watching,
be cool,
huh?
That'd be cool to see the Blues win.
I would love it because I've witnessed a number of them, yeah. And it's one of the neatest things happened to a city. And I'm sitting there rooting for them, and obviously I hope they win the thing in regulation. They didn't. It went overtime. But the hand pass was so obvious, and all four officials missed it. And my understanding is that that's got to be called on the ice. It can't be overturned with technology. And that's basically what happened.
Well, right, and that's the big shame is that
get it right.
You can review something that's called, but you can't review something that's not called.
Correct.
So, I mean, and everyone's going to, you know, play devil's advocate here. And, you know, the Blues had a chance to win it in regulation. They had a chance to hang on in the final 2 minutes. They didn't do it.
They didn't do it. I get that.
They had 5.5 minutes before that goal by San Jose to go ahead and get the game winner themselves. But at the same time, you don't want a game like that to end
that way.
Yep.
I agree. I mean, obviously, I always say, you know, you got to make the last putt to win a tournament. And they had an open net and missed the open net a couple times, you know, and then the last minute they score. But tough way to lose a game, but tougher on the technology end of it.
Yep. They play again tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Enterprise Center. Thanks for listening.